Well, Travis, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, man. I know, I think I talked to you about it in running and you were busy, is when the Rock the Green Beret in San Antonio. It's been, well, almost 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
It's
Yeah.
been a while,
It's been
yeah.
that long.
It's been a
Dang.
while, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember I talked to you and you're like, yeah, you're like being the host of the party,
Oh,
basically. So
yeah.
yeah,
It's
it's kind
hard
of
to get
busy.
me to do anything doing, hosting stuff. Yeah.
So I was like, I'll
I
talk to
know.
you later about it. But I know we kind of went back and forth and we finally got it to happen, man. So
Yeah. Here we are.
yeah, it's
Two
gonna be
years
great.
later.
I think a quick intro just for the listeners. Kind of wanted to just give a quick detail on who you are, and I would like for obviously would like for you to explain who you are, but I'm just gonna give a quick intro. Travis Wilson, retired Green Beret. You started off with both military parents. You've worked with the Green Beret Foundation. You were pretty much the face of the company for a while there. At least that's what I saw. I mean, I would always see you on there. So
Yeah.
that to me is like I literally thought that was your thing, like your
The Green
baby.
Beret Foundation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that I kind of associated the brand with your face.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that I know in that community
I was an
speak.
ambassador for a long time for them
Yeah.
and then finally in a director role, but yeah.
Yeah, they speak really highly of you.
Awesome. Cool.
And then now you got a new project going on, Project Recon. That looks pretty interesting. We could talk about that later.
Yeah,
And then
absolutely.
also your company, Alpha Elite. It's Alpha Elite Performance,
Alpha
right?
Elite Perform. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
AEP.
like the first time I tried it was after the Rock the Green Beret. I did the hydration packets.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool, man. So yeah.
Right on. Good deal.
So
I brought you some. So
yeah,
we'll talk about
that's
it.
awesome. Since you did bring something, I also brought you something as well.
Yes.
We have a couple sponsors on the podcast now, like Echelon, Static Line. I don't know if you heard of Static Line. He's an actual airborne guy. He's still in, and he started his company, and he sends me merch to give to the guest.
Oh, nice.
And interestingly enough, he sent some patches with one with like a broken leg about jumping, and I was like, I don't know if that's the right one for this.
Oh, I love it. No, I love
Because
that.
and we'll talk about it later because you obviously had your
Yeah,
jump
yeah,
accident, but yeah, so he sent
yeah,
some. He's got some patches here, and
yeah.
then got some stickers, and then he's got a hat,
I love
this little
it.
hat. And
Oh,
then I
yeah.
got you a podcast shirt as well for the
Nice.
actual podcast. So
Good deal,
there you
man.
go, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll definitely wear all that and use the
Sweet.
patches. Very cool.
Awesome.
Good deal.
Well, let's start off with young Travis, man. How did
Young
yeah,
Travis.
let's hear it. Where did it all start?
Am I old Travis now? No.
Well, little guy, little
little
Travis,
Trav.
the giant
Yeah.
guy.
Little Trav, man. I tell you what, yeah. So I grew up in a military family, Air Force. Both my folks were in the Air Force. My dad retired out of the Air Force. My mom, got pregnant, got out. And so actually my whole family, both grandfathers were in the Army, served in World War II. Uncle in Vietnam, a couple of them in Vietnam. My father was in Vietnam. That's about it. But oh, and my grandma on my father's side actually was part of the an agency type program where they took young ladies out of college and put them into a building where they there's I think there was a movie made about it, where they just I don't know they just were phone operators or intel listeners or something like
Yeah.
that, but they couldn't date, they couldn't go out.
Oh, wow.
In certain times, yeah, I mean, it sucked. And then that's where my grandfather and grandma met. That was in D.C. But there's a book or a movie about whatever that was that she did
Yeah.
in D.C. during the World War II. So everybody kind of served at some point, really.
Yeah.
And then my grandmother on my mom's side was, no offense to the listeners here, part of Hitler's youth because my dad or my grandpa met her in Germany.
Yeah.
In Heidelberg, Germany, and
Oh,
so
okay.
she is straight up from Germany, and a lot of that was just forced on those kids,
Yeah.
So, but she was quick to come to the United States. But yeah, young Trav grew up in a military family, just always around it. My father was an Air Force pararescue to begin with. Actually, he joined the Air Force to be a pack clerk,
Yeah.
like a paperwork pusher, and he was like, "This is stupid," and "Oh, what's this thing? Jump out of planes and all that." So. He actually made it through the entire pipeline way back in the day in the 60s, which was extremely difficult to do. Became a pararescue guy, went to Vietnam, and did about 13 years of that before he transferred into becoming a physician assistant.
Okay.
So grew up with that all in my family, both in the medical field as well, both folks. And so always knew that, I liked health and fitness and the medicine. So I joined the Army as a medic, but only after serving or going to 1 year at Wentworth Military Academy, and dropped out of that and joined the Army from there.
So I read somewhere in a bio where I was going through on noticed on a bio where your father actually used to like kind of, you kind of got the Green Beret instilled in you since you were a young kid. So
yeah, he would sing little stanzas, Barry Sadler's Ballad of the Green Berets. He would sing little parts of that to me, waking me up in the morning, pin silver wings on my son's chest, making one of America's best. I didn't really put anything to that. I always thought it just meant airborne. You know, he always talked about jumping out of planes and Air Force, and I always thought it was just the Air Force that jumped out of planes. But then I learned that the Army did it and you know, joined the Army and became an airborne medic. And when I started to learn about the Green Berets and then actually became one, was when I asked him, I was like, why did you sing, you know, little stanzas about, you know, the Green Berets to me as a kid when you were in the Air Force? And in Vietnam, they would go pick these guys up and he'd look at, I mean, I remember one, like there was a dude in jeans, he said, and why is he dressed like that? And they just looked so badass. And my dad was a pretty badass dude too. And yeah, I was a PJ. He always wondered where they came from and didn't really get the opportunity to talk to him. It was pick them up, drop them off, you know, but he worked out of like Cambodia and Laos and Hong Song, Thailand is one of the air bases or some shit, I remember.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, in Vietnam, but behind Vietnam and all that. So, actually I got permanently disqualified from joining the Air Force because I had surgery when I was 15 on my knee, which was exploratory, which was dumb back in those days, before MRIs, I guess.
Yeah.
So the Army's like, we'll take you. If you want to beat your body up, let's do this.
Yeah.
So.
The knee's not going to be there later.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You want to jump out of a plane? You're fucked.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, young Trav was, I just knew that I was going to join the military. It was just in me, even going to that military academy for a year and just kind of, one, I found out that I was just too immature to be in college at that time. And I recognized that probably in my 30s. It's like, you know, I was just an asshole. I was extremely immature and not prepared, not ready for college at that time. So
I think I'm glad I didn't go to college like right out the bat like that. I went to the Marine Corps because I feel like I don't truly think I would be where I'm at right now if I would have just stuck to college.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you, man. It took me a little bit to get back to school. So I joined the Army, went to, actually, I came to Fort Hood, the Corps Alerts, but it deactivated as soon as I showed up. So I ended up going to Alaska, the 501st, and stayed there for a little bit. Went to selection in 1999 to become a Green Beret. Got selected. Pissed off, you know, the regiment. Because I was like, well, I'm going to get out and go to college. They weren't happy about that. But I grew up playing hockey. Yeah. Even though I'm a Texas kid, we were back and forth. But I grew up playing hockey and kind of excelled at that. And went to Boise State and walked on to their, you know, Division II ACHA program. And, yeah, they were just like, well, you know, don't ever come back, you know, like the regiment, you know.
Yeah.
But then all the wars started kicking off. And I was like, I got to go. So, yeah, I went right back in the Army and called them up and was like, hey, wanna be a Green Beret? What's up? And they were like, fuck you. Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah, no, yeah, of course.
I was kidding. They were like, yeah, go to war first, man. Like, go get some action in, you know? And so I went as a medic for 10 months to Iraq, the beginning of the war there. Yeah. And
what year did you go to Iraq?
End of 03. I know, 04.
Oh, so the midst of all that shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was still real sketchy.
Rock and rolling, yeah. So a lot of patients coming through. I was at an emergency room, the 21st Combat Support Hospital. I was assigned to them as a medic. And it's not anything like you think about MASH, you know, and body, you know, patients coming and stuff like that. It is like that, but usually at night. All this stuff happened at night. Except for, you know, I was there when the Chinooks were shot down. Like, it was a Chinook going on leave with, you know, a bunch of soldiers, and they were going somewhere. And they were all shot down. So we received all those bodies, and it was just, that's what you dealt with as a medic in the Combat Support Hospital, in the ER. For the whole time I was there, I was, you know, emailing the regiment saying, hey, I want to be a Green Beret. And then what was really cool is, like, a dude showed up, Mike Benkoski, he's out now. He showed up with a baby. And I was like, I know this guy. And he and I went through basic training together in 1995. And he actually went on to become a Green Beret, and we met there. And then soon after that, this Green Beret comes in, Kelly Hornibeck. He passed away, but yeah, Master Sergeant Kelly Hornibeck. And he's from 10th Special Forces Group. He ended up coming through on my table, and he was one of the last guys that I had the honor to work on him to save this man's life.
Yeah.
But his medic, Ken Lehman, sadly lost his battle to just mental health.
Yeah.
But those guys came in, and Ken was just so badass and wearing this shirt that said, "I love hookers," you know, and his, you know, his BDUs, you know, and hookers was hookers headers, not like, yeah, I love hookers.
Yeah.
But that's just how they dress. And I was like, man, this is what I want to do. I like being on the saving lives end of things, but I want to be a Green Beret.
Yeah.
So really push regiment, like, hey, this is what I want. And I really need to do this. So they're like, all right, we're going to need you, man, because we don't foresee this ending. Two war fronts going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need you. So I was fortunate enough to get to go home a little early and start that PCS process to the Q course. So made it to the Q course in 04.
And went to the Q course first time, got through, did all your stuff.
Yes, but not as a medic. You would think I'd be a medic, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I even went to school for exercise science when I was at Boise State, and I was a medic prior to that. But they were like, my tech, God rest his soul, he passed away as well. Soon after leaving the Q course as a tech, he got killed in Iraq, and he was a first group. And a sergeant first class Nguyen. But he, that dude, man, I showed up. I was like, man, so it says here I'm going to be an 18 Echo. And he's like, yeah, you're going to be an 18 Echo. Like, what the fuck? You know, but he had that Vietnamese or whatever,
yeah,
accent, Thai accent or something, yeah, like that. And I said, well, I'd really love to be a medic. And he was like, get the fuck out of my office. You're going to be an 18 Echo. I was like, oh my God, all right. He comes out later after chewing my ass. Well, he chews my ass again because my hands are in my pocket. My hat's kicked back like I was already, yeah, fucking Green Beret. I was, yeah, about done. He about kicked me out of the course. But he told me, he's like, look, man, if you want to be a medic, you're going to be a holdover for like a year. You know, we have so many guys that are going to be Deltas that you're going to be a holdover. So just be a fucking Echo, dude. You want to be a Green Beret, go be an Echo. Man, I sucked it up. The whatever I did in selection in 99, my test score said that I was a better fit to be an 18 Echo.
Yeah.
So I became an 18 Echo.
So in the Green Beret world, 18 Echo, you guys are
communication specialists. Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Radio, satellites, anything that, all this stuff, anything techie.
Yeah. So I think Chris is an Echo as well.
Yeah. So Chris knows that the job is never done because, yeah, it sucks. The internet goes out and fucking your 18 Bravo can't, you know, jack off or something, yeah, watching porn. He's pissed and, yeah, he wants his internet back up. So that's, yeah, your job. Radios go down. I mean, there was an incident where I had a team sergeant that, my radio doesn't work. Walked over there and had to turn that shit on. He's like, yeah, it was on. No, it wasn't. So, yeah, the 18 Echo job is never done. But I had always maintained that mental status of being a medic, and it actually worked out for me.
It's good.
On one of those deployments. So
it's good. So you finally become a Green Beret. You get thrown into the 18 Echo, you know, world. Not quite exactly what you wanted to do, but what's it like? Like, what's your first final, what group did you end up going with?
10th group.
10th group?
Yeah, big white dude. I was given the Russian language.
Yeah.
So I was given that language, learned that, and went to 10th group because of our area of operation is Eastern Europe.
Well, and I think it's funny because talking to a lot of friends that I have that are Green Berets, like, especially because of this war that we just had for the last 20 plus years, you know, everybody, like, 5th group is, you know, certain regions, 7th group, you know, South America, you know, like the Latin America type stuff. And it's funny because that's not really what everybody was doing, especially during, I mean, I don't know exactly what you guys were all doing, but, you know, everybody got their playtime in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And Africa.
Exactly. Yeah, Africa, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's where it's like, it's unique because I think people, they get fixated on, oh, like, that group only belongs to that. I'm like, no, yeah, they still play around the world.
I mean, I got to play in Eastern Europe as well. I went to an organization called the RRC, and so we were singleton operators, but we didn't have any permissions or authorities at the time that I graduated that course. So went over to Lithuania,
okay,
with a team, and so doing stuff out of the embassy, just some really neat stuff. There was that period of time where Putin said that he could take Vilnius in a day, and there was really nobody in Lithuania helping. So JSATs happened and shit like that, but then we had more of a permanent presence there, which I think we still do today. But it was pretty cool in that we got to DZ survey a drop zone for follow-on airborne operations if need be, and cache sites and things like that. It was pretty good stuff.
That's another neat concept, you know, especially for some of the listeners who don't really understand like the world a little bit, everybody thinks it's just like Iraq, Afghanistan and stuff, but there's so much, especially Africa, man. Like Africa was it. I tell everybody, like you guys are fixated on the other stuff. Africa's bad, man.
It's cowboys and Indians.
Yeah, it's bad out there. And you know, I think when you're talking about Lithuania and stuff, one of my other guests, he worked at the agency for a little bit, and he got jacked up in Armenia, and It's like people are like, "Oh, what's happening in Armenia?" Like you don't know, man. And there's a lot of stuff happening, you know, that doesn't make the media. And you know, like I recently just had a friend, you know, there's stuff going down in South America that they're like, "Oh, it might happen." It's already happening.
Yeah.
It's just now it's becoming public a little bit, but for the most part, it's been happening for years. You know.
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty neat that you got to kind of go to many different, you know, theaters, right? Like I call them theaters because everyone has its own, you know, unique little concept. But what was the most, what was probably the one where you finally like, were like, oh shit, I'm a Green Beret and this is the real deal. Like this episode of Calling Your Shot is fueled by Echelon Energy Drink, the mission ready performance drink developed with input from over 2000 US military service members. Echelon isn't just your average energy drink. It's a pre-workout in a can, packed with 300 milligrams of caffeine, 200 milligrams of L-theanine, beta-alanine, and fiber, formulated for clean, focused energy without the crash. Flavors like Mango Reaper, Yuzu Cayenne, and Berry Habanero are anything but ordinary. Each can delivers bold taste and a long-lasting performance, designed for those who don't back down from a challenge and a little spice. But Echelon's impact goes beyond the can. They're unapologetically military forward branding and real-world product testing build morale and pride within the armed forces. It's not just fuel. It's a reminder of who you are and what you stand for. Check them out at drinkechelon.com. Again, drinkechelon.com, and see why Echelon is the official energy drink of the United States military and now this podcast. Echelon Energy, mission-ready fuel for those who dare.
Third deployment. It was just no shit. The second one I knew. Well, the first deployment as a Green Beret, I knew that I don't know how to answer this. I was a Green Beret when I hit the ground in Iraq the very first time I was there.
Yeah.
As a Green Beret.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no shit. Handshake, 5th group, 10th group. This is what, you know, is going on, and you immediately get thrown into it. You 24 hours before, you know, you are home, and now you're in, where were we? Balad. And then another 24 hours later, you were at a team house, kidding up, getting ready to go kick indoors. It happens that fast. So, as soon as you land in any theater, I'm a Green Beret. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I signed up for. But there was one mission, that I hated it, but I loved it. Two different objectives, helicopters come in and land. And when they land, they were not offset a considerable amount. They were right up on those two houses, house A, house B. There was another house too. I think we watched them all day on ISR. Nobody was over in that one, but people on the rooftops of both houses, and then guns and all that stuff. We were chasing down a couple of 82nd kids who were taken hostage from a position that they were at.
Yeah. That's the thing. In the beginning of the Iraq War, too, we were having hostages. Like,
yeah,
you know, later on, we didn't see that. But like in the beginning, I think for a lot of these young bucks who they kind of came in late in GWAT, they didn't realize. I still remember the guys would get tattoos with the cut here. They would put the little, you know, the old school, like little cut thing.
Yeah.
I seen a couple of Marines that had it like cut here because they were like, if I ever get kidnap him, tell him to fucking cut the bastard.
Shit. Yeah. Ain't nobody cut my head off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking die. But we hit this objective and all shit just broke loose and it went to hell in a handbasket. I was on this objective with the team leader, radio setup, all that good stuff, neutralized the roof. As soon as we got off the helicopter, you know, lobbed some thingies up there, you know, and took care of business, cleared the house, made our way up to the top. The other house erupted into gunfire, substantial gunfire, and all you could hear was Charlie 1, Charlie 1, where's Charlie 1? And our Fox was locked in a room, not locked, but trapped in a room by himself. Like there was just gunfire from all over inside this house and from higher points. It was a pretty big house. I was looking over the rooftop and after, you know, setting up the radios, and I had dual comms listening to the loitering helicopters above, because we knew that shit could go down. So we had a few of them loitering above us. And it was a killer capture type hit. For an HVT and plus the two hostages. And anyway, I see Charlie One on the ground outside of the house. And there's some Iraqis. You know, we took, a small squad of Iraqis with us as well. They were just white lighting Charlie One. Jake, I can say his name now, Jake Anderson. And he's not answering anybody. But I had eyes on, so I said, fuck it. And I ran and got down there. Told the team leader, I was like, hey, I'm going to get Charlie One. He's like, wait, what? So ran down there and did my thing with Charlie One. Having been a medic, it just immediately kicked back in. I did enough of it, you know, at the beginning of the war.
Especially being in the ER and stuff.
Yeah. So saw that he was shot in his brachial plexus right above his plate and just, you know, started doing my thing. What was great, though, is that my buddy Ty Fisher, he was a senior to me at that time, came sliding in like he was sliding into first base.
Yeah.
Or third base. And because not too many people slide into first.
Yeah.
he slides into third base and his kit, we all set up our kit the same way. His kit was on the back of the vest. And he positions himself between the firefight and Jake and myself. And could I have dragged Jake further away? I could have, but he could have bled out because it hit an artery.
Yeah.
And I immediately just started packing that entrance and exit wound and doing what I could. And then finally one of the medics, the Delta, showed up and we got him on a litter, turned on our IR strobes and I had to, you know, dual comms and was communicating with the loitering bird above for medevac. And we got Jake out of there and then the firefight continued. And then before I could even go back to the roof with the team leader and a couple others, you know, we got a squirter out the back, he's got a gun, and IR strobe, and I'm talking to the only bird that's talking to me. I'm supposed to be relaying this to the rest of the team. I was like, fuck, I'm on this. So I just sprint my ass off after this dude and get to a moving river. Right? It was pretty good flowing river, but this dude jumped in there, and the IR light was shining down on him, and I just started firing into the water, and he popped up like, oh, okay, I give up. And Ty Fisher actually ended up coming with me on that as well. And so we got that dude out of the water, and it got crazy because this Iraqi dude just walked up and pow, shot that dude in the chest. One of our Iraqis that was with us.
Oh,
and we're like,
shit.
What the fuck? So we ended up shipping that dude out too.
Yeah.
For killing this guy, this HPT.
Yeah.
There was a lot more to it than that. You can imagine the chaos. I mean, it was pretty fucking chaotic.
Especially, and then you got the Iraki that just pulls up and just pumps in the chest.
Yeah, and then when, you know,
it's like somebody told them, like, they catch them, like, you...
Well, you always wonder why you have dry holes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why you're going and hitting a target and dry, you know? Like, how did they know?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they had people on the inside, so...
Of course.
But even with, you know, the Fox being trapped in that room... you know, and him taking, you know, they're shooting through the door and all that shit. I mean, the whole thing was just fucking crazy and chaotic. But yeah, that was a moment where, you know, later you get back and you're writing up your ARs and situation reports and things like that and what went down. And you're just like, that was fucking some Green Beret shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was
awesome. And then we freed some hostages as well. Not the Americans. They had moved and sadly were killed at another site. But had a lot of women and children that were there that were not related to the captors, you know, and so we freed them, and they were just ransom bodies, you know, like they were waiting for money. That's how they operate. They get money for people's lives.
Yeah.
And then when we were leaving out early in the morning, the cab showed up to just we just said, hey, just destroy these homes, just fuck them up.
Yeah.
They just leveled them. But yeah, that was some Green Beret shit there in Iraq. But same with Africa, you know, Turkey shoot in Galmali, and then a coup happened and all hell went broke, you know, loose there. And
yeah, I know, so, like, shit, even, I don't know, it was probably, 15, 14? I don't remember. But when it up in Niger, was that fifth group? And then,
yep.
Yeah, they got hit up there. Yeah.
Fifth or third, or I can't remember.
It's one of the two. Yeah. I know that was fucked up, man. Like, and that was
the ambush of the moments, is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's what, one of the moments where I was telling a buddy of mine, like, see, it's not like everybody thinks people hear Africa and they think of this fucking safari and animals and shit. I'm like, dude, like that
is down south.
Yeah. Yeah. That is not what it is over there, man.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, I think it's getting better now. I believe in the last year and a half, because of social media and stuff, and finally, like, you know, veterans and stuff opening up and talking about these things, people are starting to open up and see how the world is truly functioning, right? It was always very fixated on what we're told in the media and whatnot, but I think people are now buying, like, hey, this is not exactly what goes down in the world. And Africa's one of them, right? You know, there's just so much, like, bad going on over there. There's so many different terrorist organizations that are operating out of Africa. I mean, now, from what I even heard on another podcast recently, this girl, she's a journalist. She's even talking about even the cartels running out of Africa now. Because I guess they're using it as, you know, another way to enter other countries and stuff like that. And I'm like,
gotta make money, right?
Yeah. And hell, they're hitting Canada pretty big right now, too. Uh-huh. You know, so it's crazy, man, to see, you know, all that. And not a lot of people, I think they take it for granted. Like, some of the, I deployed to Africa. Africa. Oh, whatever. But Africa's a bad place.
You know, I would say that. From the equator up, it just gets real shitty in Africa. It really does. It is dry. It's hot. There's nothing going on. Think about Sudan, South Sudan, Mali, Niger, all those places. It's a hotbed. And at one time, it was really kind of a vacation spot for terrorists so that they could get out of the war, take a break.
Yeah.
But it just translated into, hey, well, let's just start infiltrating these places and bring ISIS down here, and that's what happened. But it still happens, and you see the genocide right now, the Christians.
Oh, it's awful.
Awful. It's crazy. So but I go to, you know, South Africa. I've been in Namibia a few times to hunt, so you go down there, it's a good time. It's safe, and you know, it's
a story.
This episode of Calling Your Shot is brought to you by Zemo Pouches, a bold, tobacco-free nicotine pouch that delivers flavor, comfort, and independence from big tobacco. Crafted with a unique, water-free, semi-dry formula, Zemo Pouches offer a steady release of nicotine and long-lasting taste. Made with soft, non-woven cotton imported from the UK, these slim pouches are gentle on the gums and built for all-day comfort. Zemo doesn't cut corners when it comes to flavor. Whether it's blueberry, grape, or wintergreen, every pouch packs a punch, thanks to high-quality ingredients sourced from their top-tier UK suppliers. Plus, each pouch uses pharmaceutical-grade nicotine, so you know you're getting premium quality with every pull. Zemo is proudly independent, no corporate giants, just a mission to give you a smarter, better option. Explore all of their flavors and strengths at ZemoPouches.com. Again, ZemoPouches.com. Zemo Pouches.
Total different story, so.
I mean, but I guess now you can... Whole damn world's not safe anymore, right? It's like,
it's going to hell in a handbasket every day.
Yeah, we literally just saw some craziness last night, you know?
Sure did. Yeah. That's a social experiment that's going to fail guaranteed.
Oh, it never works, man. Uh-huh. So, you know, you do your time as a Green Beret. You know, when do you start to, because I know you got injured, and your injury was a big moment for you, I guess, in the military career, so.
Yeah. I ended up having a free fall accident. I mean, you get hurt in war and all that good stuff. Honestly, though, I've never had a Purple Heart, never, because nothing ever happened to me that required one, you know? But you get those blast injuries, that overpressure, things like that to your head. Endured a lot of that. But as far as my biggest injury was on a training exercise in Eloy, Arizona, free fall accident. We were training for preparation for a deployment. And I had a partial malfunction after I turned on final. So 500 feet, you turn on final to land, you know, and it was a night jump. And after the 15-6 investigation, all we could come up with is that I hit a night dust devil, because there's no reason for your canopy, and because it was all intact. No, there wasn't a line over, nothing crazy. I mean, it deployed. So I must have hit a night dust devil, because it was in the desert. There's nothing out there. I knew exactly where we were at. Made that jump, you know, quite a few times. And just spun down to the right until I splatted on the ground there. And, you know, I've had 13 surgeries because of that jump, you know, soon after and then later on. But the big one was the TBI. There was an immediate change in just thought process, everyday function, you know. A lot of, you know, lethargy, just not being able to focus. But physically, you know, I got my body back to where it needed to be, even though I had a broken back and disc replacement and other things like that. But I got my body back to where I could stay on the team, so I thought.
Yeah.
It still hurt quite a bit, and my head just wasn't right that, all right, this isn't really going to work out, and went on to that RRC program and really struggled through that program, but I made it. But then went, towards the end of my career there, I went to the basement of 10th Special Forces Group, and that's where I really started to focus on my brain, like, this is not working. What's going on? Went and saw the shrink. Of course, they're like, oh, it's PTSD. Here's some pills, you know.
Yeah.
I had a twitch in my left arm. I had a stutter on S's that wasn't there prior to my accident. Oh, that's PTSD. I'm like, no, it's not. There's nothing in my career that I did that affected me.
That's crazy you say that. The twitch on the left arm and the stutter. I have that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you might have some micro lesions on your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely have some really abnormal brain scans for sure.
I'm sure you do, man. So, yeah, but it was a twitch. And every now and then I'll get like a, I don't know, a little jolt or something like that. But occasionally I get stuck. But before it was pretty prominent. And, but yeah, I went to the Brain Treatment Center in San Diego, California, spent 8 weeks there. And I was introduced into stem cells at that point. And I was like, I really want to figure out how these stem cells work, because it's, to me, it's a natural medicine. It's not a pill. It's your own. At this time, it was mesenchymal cells that I was dealing with,
yeah,
and that they suck out of your adipose tissue. So there was a little bit of liposuction involved, which was cool, you know. But mesenchymal cells are like your same age, you know. But umbilical cord blood stem cells are where it's at. So anyway, went to the Bahamas, had this procedure done: liposuction, stem cells, mix it with mannitol, breaks the brain barrier. And I really started to know a difference, notice a change, a difference in how I felt. I was more alert. It was like being able to get more blood flow to the brain, but that's not what it was. There's just a bunch of microlesions on the brain, and these stem cells, they get in there and they get to work. You think of them as a platoon or an ODA, and they get in there and they're just like, oh, we got to get to work on on this area of operation, which is the injury. And then they like to bring in your own cells, you know, they suck them in. They're like, hey, other cells, get over here. You know, we need to start, you know, sewing this stuff up, if you will, whether it be ligaments, tendons, or any of that stuff. So that's when I really started to notice a change. And I thought, well, I want more of this, but I couldn't afford it. And I met somebody that was able to hook it up. And I got into umbilical cord blood stem cells. And you really notice a change when you start getting into the primo grade stuff, you know? Stem cells are where it's at. Well, health and fitness.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta maintain,
correct,
you know, health and fitness as well. Stem cells are an added bonus if you can afford them. But health and fitness will help heal you as well.
I think it's really interesting, and obviously this is something we can start getting into in our conversation now, especially with your new foundation that you've kind of created, and also your company. But even just for me recently, it was actually after talking to Chris and him telling me kind of how he started to feel a lot better after checking his, you know, hormone levels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Man, I checked my test. I was at 107.
Good Lord.
I was like, I'm a chick now, man. I turned into a chick. So I've been on tests now for a little bit less than a year,
mm-hmm,
and I have noticed a big difference. I'm now like, you know.
Injection or pellets?
Injection.
Okay.
I'd done the pellets before, but I felt like they didn't last as long as I wanted them to.
Yeah.
But also back then I didn't really have, I was still kind of just graduated college. I had switched my careers.
Yeah.
I was kind of still financially like, I don't want to be dropping money on pellets all the time.
Right, yeah.
So when I switched up my regimen and stuff, and now I'm on testosterone, I've noticed a difference, but I still know that there's other problems with me that are not obviously fixed with testosterone, right?
Yeah.
You know, the not wanting to get up in the mornings, just being tired and stuff like that. Like a lot of that started to get better, you know, being on tests, going to the gym. You know, like this week it's been slow for me because I've been trying to get the studio up and running and everything. So literally late nights, and I'm like, damn, like, I'm not going to go to the gym now because I'm going to freaking be wide awake all night. And I'm really trying to focus on my sleep right now because my sleep has been bad. And, you know, doing more research and stuff, like even like peptides and different things like that. Now I'm at that point now where I'm like, okay, I need to start taking care of myself in those, you know, different aspects. But like you said, there's stuff that, you know, veterans like yourself, me, other people have that really require more attention. And, you know, I think a lot of us kind of started with that mentality of you're a pussy if you like go seek help, like don't be a bitch, like be tough and stuff like that. And now that you get older, for me, where it started bothering me is I'm like, it's taking away from my time with my children, you know, and that's where I'm like, okay, now I need to take care of myself. I never wanted to talk to a shrink. It was over a year ago that I finally was like, maybe I need to go tell somebody what I'm thinking and how I believe. And I like this guy. He was like, look, man, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, you need to do this, you need to do that. He's like, that's fucked up. Like, you know, that's awful. You had to experience that. And just having that conversation with him is what also led me to finally do a podcast and start talking.
Oh, very cool. Nice.
It helped. Talking to Chris was a really big help for me. In fact, sometimes me and Chris will talk on the phone. Oh, he's gone right now on the other side of the world. But, you know, when he was back home, we were always on the phone. You know, sometimes there's days where they're not going to, you're not going to have good days, right? And, you know, sometimes having a good support system. But that leads me in, I don't want to go off on a rant, but that leads me into what you've been doing, right? Like even when you were working with Green Beret Foundation and now with Project Recon, what tempted you to really get into Project Recon and create this?
So
this episode of Calling Your Shot is brought to you by Berserker Built, a veteran-owned brand where artistry meets purpose. Founded by U.S. Navy veteran Timothy DeMeo, Berserker Built crafts custom skateboards and apparel inspired by Viking and Norse designs. But they're more than just a brand. They're on a mission to support mental health initiatives for veterans and first responders battling with PTSD, TBI, and much more. Each purchase contributes to this cause, turning functional art into a beacon of hope. Whether you're looking for a unique board or gear that stands for something greater, Berserker Built delivers quality with a conscience. Explore their collection and support the mission at berserkerbuilt.com. Again, berserkerbuilt.com. Berserker Built, crafted with purpose and driven by honor. This episode of Calling Your Shot is brought to you by Operation Path Forward, a nonprofit based in Montana, dedicated to supporting active duty military, veterans, and first responders. Founded by Navy veteran Timothy DeMeo and his wife Tabitha, Operation Path Forward provides curated care packages and is developing a wilderness retreat in Montana to offer holistic healing through nature, community, and specialized therapies. By partnering with veteran-owned businesses and like-minded organizations, they deliver morale-boosting resources and practical gear to those who have served. To support their mission or nominate a hero for a care package, visit operationpathforward.org. Again, operationpathforward.org. Operation Path Forward, because no hero should have to walk alone. Check them out, guys. Operation Path Forward.
It started long before by the Green Beret Foundation Project Recon. Start with Alpha Elite Performance, my business.
Sorry, I need to jump off that one. No, that's fine.
But so what I noticed, what I needed was to completely change. I come from the community of Green Berets where it was, you know, drink, beer, party, and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the Green Berets coming in now are, you know, CrossFit wasn't a thing, but it is now with all the hybrid, you know, working out. We worked out, we PT'd, but, you know, what I'm getting at is that you have got to make sure that your body is healthy. It is a fine-tuned machine. You got to keep it that way. So I really started to focus on whole foods, started a supplement company, Alpha Elite Performance. So we have greens that are approved for use by the Special Warfare Center schools. We have a sleep aid because sleep is important. Healing happens when you sleep. So our sleep aid is also approved for use by the Special Warfare Center schools. We sent this stuff to them. They checked it out, did their own thing. We've got the pre and post, you know, studies that prove that our stuff works. But that's what it focuses on, whole foods, health and wellness, fitness, and not working out to get super strong. I got past those days. Now, I work out for aesthetics because I want to look good in my 50s, but also health as well, you know. Yeah. So I'm not lifting too heavy. I'm doing a lot of things for, you know, stretching. Stretching is 75% strength, you know, so do a lot of stretching as well. But whole food supplements and brain health. It were my focus, and because I didn't want to dive dementia or any of that stuff. Yeah. Shit, I still might. You never know. I'll probably accidentally fuck up and walk in front of a bus. Right. But yeah, but then I started doing stuff with the Green Beret Foundation as an ambassador for them like 7-8 years ago, which was awesome. They really just allowed me to do things on my own time and dime to promote them. And then ended up getting a job with them as well as the director of programs and community relations, which has kind of changed things for me. But yeah, it, you know, with Alphalete Performance, health and wellness, and then getting into stem cells and thought, well, okay, I got myself to a point where I'm doing great. Just in general, I want to help others. So I've got another nonprofit too, AEP Outdoors, where we take guys on adrenaline outdoor adventure, hunting trips and stuff like that. And that's through Alphalete Performance.
Okay.
But Project Recon is a nonprofit that I started that we provide stem cell therapy, regenerative health therapy, to special operations, guys and girls. Because there are females in special operations as well.
Yeah.
And but they have to have, you know, had a diagnosed TBI, and they're dealing with the, you know, they're just dealing with the effects of moderate to severe TBIs.
Do you ever wish that something like this can eventually become even out past the special operations community?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I had a sit down with the Secretary of VA in Atlanta, and it was awesome to be in a room of 10 to 12 other people. And he immediately start, you know, talking to you, like, what's Project Recon? What do you do? Who are you? And the conversation just carried the longest. And then he came back to us, you know, came back to myself and Anna Richardson, who was the CEO that I hired to run Project Recon. He, you know, it's like, he's excited about it. He's excited about regenerative health and healing for all veterans. And yeah, I absolutely 100% would love stem cells, you know, to help you. But same with the psychedelics as well that they're getting into.
Yeah.
I, for one, don't need it. I've tried it. I went on a freaking crazy-ass journey with 5-MeO-DMT, like an hour-long trip.
Yeah.
I got the videos to prove it. That shit was crazy and amazing. But I didn't need it.
Yeah.
And I don't need it now. I don't need to do it again. I don't need the psychedelics.
Yeah.
But the healing, the microlesions on the brain, that's what I needed. And that's what stem cells do for you. But they all kind of synergistically work together.
Yeah.
So if there's somebody that did the trips, the psychedelics, the ibogaines, they still might need stem cells to help heal those microlesions on the brain.
Still damage there.
Yeah. So all that neuroplasticity and stuff that, you know, psychedelics do, you know, this, I'd like to say that the stem cells are sewing the brain back together so that neuroplasticity doesn't escape, if you will.
Yeah.
So I would love for this. But more importantly, it needs to be in active duty soldiers.
Yeah.
Because if you can get to the brain when that TBI happens, the healing process is going to happen a lot faster than waiting years after.
So that's kind of something I wanted to ask.
Think about scar tissue and trying to get through. Yeah. And I don't mean to interrupt, but think about to cut through scar tissue.
Yeah.
You know, get to those brains now.
Before. Yeah. No, yeah. And I mean, now I work in medicine now. So I see that early onset of care is important in everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But given what you've experienced with how you've started your healing process, especially after your big injury, and I mean, obviously it sounds like it was later that you finally started to, you know, do the healing process and stuff, but do you think that, like you said, active duty soldiers, do you think we should start pushing for a lot of this stuff that we're pushing in the veteran community and stuff to start doing these things while these guys are in, like, because I think, and I'm not just talking about the you know, the foundations that are helping and everything, but also like the health and stuff. Because I know, like, in the military, they give all these hip pocket classes on health and wellness and stuff like that. But let's face it, half of them are bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's a placeholder.
Exactly. And I think
you got time of the day, training schedule.
Exactly. And you got, you know, young guys walking around with a monster and a freaking
24/7
and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I was one of them, man. Mm-hmm. I used to go to SVT, man, because I'd drink Red Bull like it was water. And, you know, it's, and now I wonder, like, Mike, I go to the gym, I'm still busting ass, and I feel like I'm not improving like I should. But then I go back to thinking, well, my diet's shit. And one, I didn't take care of my body the way I should have in the past, because I was there. It was fine for me, right? But I think that even for listeners now that are still maybe active duty and stuff, because I know I have a couple friends that are active duty currently that listen and everything, I think these guys should start listening to these things and listening to the guys who have done it before, and say, like, hey, let me not end up like you know, these guys. And let me try to fix that even before, because I think it's going to help with a lot of things. And this is something I also read in your background and stuff, and I don't want to bring it up, but a lot of us have all had, you know, our past life and everything, but the divorce rate is high in this, in this world. The suicide rate is astronomically high as well. And a lot of it deals with the stress and everything. And when you go back to the fitness and the health and all that stuff, it all adds, it all goes back to one place, and that's up here. And eventually all that's going to take a toll on the veteran or on the soldier, whatever it is, Marine. So I think that my initiative recently is like, I'm like, what is truly my calling with my podcast and with other, you know, working with other organizations and stuff. And I just recently started, working together. They're working with the podcast as well, Operation Path Forward. Tim DeMeo, him and his wife, she just passed away recently from cancer, God bless her. And she actually had gotten a cancer treatment in Germany, and we were pushing it on Instagram and everything, try to get her the help she needed. Mind you, all while she's doing chemo on cancer and everything, she created Operation Path Forward, trying to help veterans who are in need and just in a lost place, getting gear and a pack and stuff and getting them out on a retreat just to get, you know, some help, you know, showing support, right? She was doing all this while going through like the worst parts of her life, you know? And like Tim has said, it's probably some of the best parts of her life because she got to help others and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And going, you know, back onto that, it's just like, There needs to be more awareness. I feel like there's too many people that do this at a level to just for fun, and they trying to get clout, you know? And it's like, I've tried my best to bring on people onto this podcast that have different organizations, like Chad's son, Hunter, from, you know, Mighty Oaks Foundation, right? Different foundations that can try to start helping veterans, their family members, or, you know, every foundation has its unique, you know, twist to it. But it's really neat what you're doing. And I think that a lot of guys get sidetracked and say, oh, well, they're just catering to special operations community. I don't think that's necessarily the mindset behind it. It's just how you're entering the arena, right? If this works, you can use this as a study or as information to push to the VA, to push to you know, the government, right? And I think like Vincent Rocco Vargas, he's doing really good in getting in front of Congress and all these people to try to like, hey, we need to change things. We need to start, you know, helping these guys. So I really think what you're doing with Project Recon is really cool, because I feel like, you know, just now starting to look at it, I'm like, hey, this can lead to somebody like myself to create an argument somewhere else and say, look what these guys are doing and look what it's doing to these guys in the SF community.
Yeah.
And why don't we start working on these guys before they get out, so that later on you're not paying up the ass on VA benefits. Now, I'm not saying take away VA benefits from any veteran, right? But what I'm saying is you could prevent a lot of this stuff earlier.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you're going to save careers too.
Yeah.
Like guys are going to be able to stay in. And that's where and this is where I call bullshit on the government, on the military, is that we have used soldiers as experiments since the military was enacted. So I took shots that I didn't even know what the fuck I was taking, you know? It's funny, there's weird shit that happens to me now. Like, my wife gets tore up by mosquitoes, and nothing affects me. I can get bit by a mosquito. Fire ants do not affect me. I've been, you know, eating up on my ankles before, nothing. Just little red dots. No swelling, nothing like that. Same with another buddy of mine, the Green Beret. He's like, bro, that shit doesn't happen to me either. So I would love, and I told the secretary of the VA, I was like, we have got to start using this stuff. It works. I wouldn't, you know, one, out of my own pocket, fund it, you know, for other guys to do it. Or myself, if it didn't work. Stem cells are clean. They're washed of all the DNA, blood, all that bullshit, these umbilical cord blood stems. And they're cheap. They're cheap. If you think, this is how it happens, and this might piss off some people, your placental sac cord blood stuff, it's taken away as waste from the hospitals, you know? No, they sell that shit to, like, you know, companies that sell the stem cells and make a fuck ton of money. How many hospitals do we have that deliver military babies? If the spouse or the wife or whatever doesn't want that placental sac and they don't have any diseases or any of that stuff, and that's all, the other thing too is that it's you know, they check that shit for any disease and stuff. Use that. Take those. It wouldn't cost the government anything to set up these labs, which aren't very expensive, to make the stem cells so that we can start using them to help treat these active duty veterans who, you know, get hurt I mean, it helped. You have 102 different cells in your body. Inject it into the knees, the ankles. I did it in my ankle after ankle reconstruction. I have no issues in this ankle at all. I mean, I've had 13 surgeries and I've done a lot of stem cells.
Yeah. I think it boils down to Travis's the lack of this. They don't really give a shit.
No, they don't. They think it's another expenditure.
And I hate to say it, right? But it's...
No, buddy, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. And I've had Pete Hegseth on speed dial for quite a while now on my phone. He's now, you know, doing what he's doing as Secretary of War, so it's not very easy to get a hold of. He's not very easy to get a hold of. But, you know, that's one dude I'd love to have a sit down with and be like, my man, come on, dude.
Yeah.
And why I start with soft guys, yeah, it's my community. It's where I came from. But also, if you look at the numbers, there have been 440-some-odd thousand diagnosed TBIs. How many undiagnosed? But a lot of those, majority of those, not a majority, but if you look at how many people were in soft versus big army statistically, and it's still a lot of people. So we have to start small footprint. And then, you know, we can start showing the proof and the different protocols. Because, yeah, there isn't one set protocol, but what works for me might not work for somebody else.
Yeah.
So we have to.
You look at it like the health term or the healthcare, you know, terms and the scientific terms and looking at it that way, the SF community is a perfect controlled group to test on because, one, you know that the trauma's there. You know that the injuries are there. Why? Because these guys weren't sitting on a base and just being fobbits forever.
Right.
You know, like they're doing work out there.
Well, it happens also within their training. There's the training that happens with special operations is far greater than what happens in the regular army or military. I've seen we get that demo pay. The only way you get that demo pay is to go out there and start blowing shit up. Yeah. And that's a whole day of blowing shit up and dealing with the overpressure on top of going to the range. Carl Gustavs, all that stuff, when you shoot that shit, you know how that feels.
Some of my problem.
Exactly, right? So, and this is what the soft guys do. They get out there, and they get after it. And so Peltors or whatever, your hearing protection, that's protective, sure, but that overpressure, that rattles the brain, you know, the jumps, my free fall jumps, and I've got, hundreds of them, they were more damaging than static line because we did it most of the time at night, which is just a controlled crash, half brakes, boom, burying yourself in with a 120-pound ruck. Like, you're still eating shit.
Yeah.
You know, you rarely got to do slick jumps and do stand-up landings. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's, if there's anybody within, you know, the government that's listening to this, call me. Let's talk. This has to happen, and it is very cost effective.
Yeah.
If it puts us out of business, I mean, shit, this government shutdown will probably put us out of business. Nobody's donating right now. It's crazy. Yeah. And that's not to make people feel bad, but please go to projectrecon.org and donate. It's crazy. If it shuts us down and says, hey, you guys aren't needed anymore because we're going to start doing this for our veterans in our active duty, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And we could all just be like, fuck yeah. Mission accomplished, you know? So, but we know it's not going to happen. But the VA has also said that they rely on organizations like Project Recon, Green Beret Foundation, Navy SEAL Foundation, Vet Solutions, all these great organizations that are out there. They rely on us for additional health care, and they're going to always continue to be that way. So here we are, and we're going to raise money. I mean, why do they have to tax people when other people will donate their money to organizations like us, which is a tax write-off, and then we just provide the health care that, you know, whether experimental or not, because some of this shit's experimental, not stem cells,
well,
trust me.
Well, I think, you know, when you say experimental, before I got into medicine,
medicine's experimental.
Yeah.
It's kind of like radio theory being it's all theory.
I used to think like, oh, it's experimental, I don't want to try that or whatever. But when you start to think about it, unless you were a key player that the FDA was willing to like go sit and look in your shit and approve you. Some of the stuff that's approved by FDA, like for example, a lot of these food that's on our shelves, that's approved by the FDA. It's fucking killing us.
Yeah.
And you know, so.
Yeah, it's a big money game.
I tell people now, don't be afraid of the experimental stuff now. Sometimes
this episode is brought to you by GrindOps Coffee Company. Established in 2021, GrindOps Coffee Company offers handcrafted fluid bed roasted coffee to suit any tactical outdoor and or hectic lifestyle. It was founded on the principles of grit, grind, and perseverance. Their mission is to fuel your mindset for any op. Serving as a canine handler with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, founder Aaron Mesa drank coffee as a staple that fueled his day. As a natural-born tinker, he began experimenting with different roasting methods and flavor profiles. After lots of trial and error, Aaron had some damn good coffee. Aaron's dedication to GrindOps Coffee Company mirrors the commitments he demonstrated to his country. GrindOps Coffee Company helps support military and first responder nonprofit organizations. Law enforcement officer owned and operated GrindOps Coffee Company. Go check them out today. GrindOpsCoffeeCo.com. Link will be in description. Check them out today.
There's actually a cancer treatment. I'm not going to plug them in just out of respect to some people, but they operate out of Mexico. And it was two American doctors, and they found a really good fucking treatment.
Nice.
I'm talking about literally almost a 78% success rate on breast cancer. No, breast cancer, I think, was like in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then it was lung cancer, which is very, that's not a good one.
Yeah.
And they had like a 78% survival rate if you did the therapy prior to a certain time
of
your cancer or whatever, or how much it's metastasizing and whatnot. But it's pretty cool to see that there's a lot of people that are doing these things, you know, like Tim, the treatment, and this is why he's coming back on the podcast, the treatment he got in Germany.
Huh.
It was, you know, a treatment that's not FDA approved or whatever, but she was cancer free.
Yeah.
You know, she ended up, I don't want to throw his personal business out, but she passed from something else post all of that. But literally when they did scans, she was cancer free.
Yeah.
And you come here and we're pumping people with chemo. We're, you know, we're hurting them. We're like, you know, basically
chemo makes money.
Yeah. That's what I try to tell people. I now work in management and healthcare, and I have to do the back end billing of certain things.
Yeah.
And you know, we do cardiac services, but I sit there and I see it and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, this is why this engine keeps running, because it makes so much money.
Yeah.
So much money. And you know, a lot of these politicians are in bed with some of these big health organizations and stuff. And, you know, they're going to, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because we can, right? There's so much about it. But it just goes to show that, like, a lot of this treatment we can be doing to veterans or guys who are currently in, like, the whole Ibogaine and all that stuff, it's way cheaper than, you know, giving them freaking Xanax and all these crazy medications, you know. Like, hell, when I went to the VA, like, I literally have a box of medicine that they prescribe.
Yeah,
they just
too.
Give you anything. But you go there, you ask them for what you want, damn near give it to you.
Excuse me.
Can't get testosterone for them that easy, but you can get anything else.
Right.
You know? And it's, and it sucks, because when you start to really look at the effective rate of this medication, it's just a buffer. It's a bandage. You come off of that stuff, it's almost like you're worse. And I've noticed that, you know, holistic treatment and natural stuff, like, you know, the stuff that they're doing in Mexico and other countries like that, it's working. And, you know, I was looking into your stem cell stuff, and I was like, man, like, stem cell stuff works for a lot of things. Like, we need to start working on this thing up here, you know, because that's the biggest problem right now.
Yep, absolutely. Sure does. But I mean, outside of stem cells, though, or, you know, back to your first question, or just your point of health and fitness, like, I tell you tell these guys and gals now to get started is to clean up your diet. You know, go to Whole Foods. It's amazing what Whole Foods will do for you, as opposed to the bullshit and boxes and crap like that. Go to Whole Foods, drink water, work out, and you'll see in 2 weeks that your mindset will change. You'll start seeing some clarity.
Yeah.
You know, get the garbage out. But also at Alpha Leap Performance, we have a couple of those, like that greens drink I told you about. It's a heavy metal detox. That thing's phenomenal. We did a pre and post on a Marsoc guy. Or actually he did it for us on his own dime.
Yeah.
There were significant changes in his antimony levels and his lead levels. And that was the main thing, is that we inhale when we're shooting, we inhale a lot of that blowback from guns. You get those lead levels in there, and it just sits in your body, goes into the bone marrow, into your bones, you know, and you got to get that shit out, because it 400 plus thousand people die annually because of complications of heavy metals in the body. So we came up with that. Sorry, I didn't bring you one of those, but
no, you're good.
I should have.
I'll stop by there soon, anyways.
Right on. Yeah. But then you get into the stem cells, man, and so a lot of I hope that we're able to, you know, provide for as many people as we can.
Yeah.
Not everybody is deserving. A lot of people, like, they've hit me up, like, hey, I've got, you know, my knee hurts. Well, it would help your knee, but there's going to be things that we need to see prior to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because you got a knee pain, I need to see some pretty catastrophic, you know, cartilage damage, which I'll send you a picture after this to show you my knee, because I've had two partial knee replacements already.
Yeah.
But I've done stem cell injection on the outsides of my knees to help save that the cartilage that's there, so, and to heal that whole region. So,
this episode is brought to you by Static Line Company, founded and operated by a current U.S. Army Airborne paratrooper who knows exactly what it means to earn your gear. Static Line Company brings you mission-ready apparel, patches, and everyday essentials built to perform, whether you're on the grind, in the gym, or out in the field. I rock the gear myself. My personal favorite is the team hat, and trust me, it's become part of my daily rotation. Check them out on staticlineco.com, and don't forget to use code CYS10 at checkout for 10% off your order. Static Line Company, built for the mission, worn with purpose. Check them out, guys.
So the VA doc told me, so when are you ready for your replacements? And I'm like, not yet. It's like,
yeah, see, they'll pay for that, right?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man.
So,
that's going to be way more, because you think about it. Now you're going under. The anesthesia cost alone is expensive.
Yeah, but the toll that it takes on your body.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it sucks to have two partial knee replacements.
Well, and then what else are you paying for after that? Physical therapy? You're paying for a lot. Post-surgical procedures. Yep. That costs a lot of money. I guarantee you the anesthesia charge alone might cover stem cells.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. But also, at some point, you're going to have total knee replacements.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because what's in there now isn't going to last forever.
Yep.
It wears down.
Exactly.
And then where does all that metal and plastic and rubber and shit, and, you know, where's that going? Yeah. It's going somewhere in my body.
Yep.
So, stem cells are amazing. I call it, you know, God's medicine. It comes from human life, and they are little bots that want to get to work.
Yeah.
They are ready to get to work and start healing whatever needs healed. There are people that do these vampire masks. This is crazy. Maybe I'll do it so I look younger for the rest. I'm 50. A lot of people say I don't look 50, so I haven't done this procedure yet. But vampire whatever masks or some shit where they make the face bleed.
Yeah.
But they'll take it one step further, and instead of collagen, they'll put stem cells in there, and they'll rub the stem cells into the skin. And you got new skin. You got baby skin on your face. You know, it's like, it's just heals that way, which is amazing. You know, wound healing is sped up. I don't know how it's just sped up, and it looks great. What, you know, I did see an amputation. Not an amputation. I'm sorry. An open wound on the thigh and an open wound on an arm or something like that. And one had stem cells and one didn't. It was months faster in healing than the other one. I can't remember which one was which.
Yeah.
They were just diagrams that I was seeing in a magazine for stem cell health and healing, but they're great. Stem cells are great. So
it's awesome.
But overall, health and wellness is as well.
So on this podcast, I'll plug in Project Recon. I'll plug in Alpha Elite as well. Is there something like for the listeners that you would encourage, like especially for Project Recon, like where they can start by looking at into this, or even, you know, showing support? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I'll plug a couple companies out there for stem cells if you want to pay out of your own pocket. Ways to Well out of Austin, great company, phenomenal. Joe Rogan goes there, Jelly Roll, a lot of athletes and a lot of civilians that pay out of pockets. They have a great veterans discount as well. And they're out of Austin. And I think, though, they have an office here in Houston as well. And then R3 Stem Cells, you can go, they're out of Scottsdale, Arizona, but he's got offices across the nation as well. And they provide stem cells. But there's a lot of, and I'm working with some other providers to get their offices to start using stem cells as well, because I just know a manufacturer of stem cells that have really good quality stem cells. So one of them being Precision Wellness out of Southern Pines, North Carolina. Dr. Taylor Bosley is a former 18 Delta. Turned, DO, and he's doing a lot of great things out there for hormone replacement therapy as well. So if you're a soft operator and you want an 18 Delta doing your hormone replacement therapy, go to Dr. Bosley at Precision Wellness in Southern Pines, North Carolina. But start there with those companies that I mentioned. If that's something that you're really, and you've got the funds to do it, go that route. And then if you want to support us, projectrecon.org, for any donations, I'd love to, I mean, obviously we would love some donations because the more donations we have, the more people we can help. And then there's just the costs of running the foundation as well, of course, you know, so, but we're trying to keep our costs, kind of like the Green Beret Foundation did a great job, 86 cents, 85, and got down to 84 at one point, 84 cents on the dollar went back to the operator and or family, to the programs that help assist the Green Berets. So, you know, that's where we're trying to keep our...
That was a really cool event you guys had that time over in San Antonio.
Rock the Green Beret?
Yeah,
they're doing another one for Christmas in Nashville.
I saw that. I was mad I didn't get that Staccato. It was, so it was, you know, Kawa. So me, Kawa, and Chris were sitting there at the bar with a couple other guys, and we're just like, the raffle starts, and we're like, the gun, we all bought a bunch of
tickets. Yeah.
We're going to get the gun, you know? And this lady who bought like one ticket or something like that.
So that always happens.
And I went over there later, I was like, I'm going to go shoot the breeze with her. Maybe I could sneak the gun from her. Maybe she'll sell it to me. Well, there was a guy with her. She's like, yeah, he gave me $500. And I was like, wait, what? And then me and Cal are over there smoking a cigar, like pissed off.
Dick, yeah.
Like, dude, a staccato, I'll give you $1,000 right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a staccato. Yeah. What was it? The CS or?
I think it was a C.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, it was a good time. And I think we had a blast. In fact, we even went and shut down the cigar shop next door and drinking there. They liked us and we had a good time. It was actually really cool. I met a couple people there that I'm actually still very close to when I talk to.
Oh, nice. Good.
I had Cowell on the show as well.
Yeah.
Chris is always a good guy. Yeah, man, it's been.
I liked his podcast actually, talking about, you know, supporting Israel and all that stuff as a Christian and good.
Yeah. You know, and I think, obviously, I'm not going to go crazy on that. And I always tell people, I have my crazy views about that whole thing.
Sure.
Israel and stuff, but I tell people I support it to the level of what I support because of scripture and stuff. I don't support some of the stuff they do, you know, and I always tell people, you can't confuse government and God. You can't say that they work hand in hand.
No, that's not.
And I think
they do some pretty evil shit.
But that's where people don't understand.
Yeah.
And they think right away, like, you know, I have family members that are, you know, in the church and stuff that have gotten like, yo, you hate Israel. I was like, I don't hate Israel.
Yeah.
I don't hate the people of Israel. I hate some of the stuff its current government is doing. I said, but that doesn't mean I hate Israel, right?
I like to tell people that I'm 0.2 Jew. What is that? I did that 23andMe.
Yeah.
And it said I was 0.2 Jew. And I was like, yes. I'm one of God's children.
I'm good. Yeah. No, but you know, that's the thing, right? It's a slippery slope when you start talking about that.
Yep.
Because I've been recently called like, oh, you're anti-Semitic and stuff. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm like, look, if I don't agree with, you know, completely obliterating a region, doesn't mean that I hate the other group. I might hate somebody from that group, but it doesn't mean I hate them in general, right?
Yeah.
Because even when you go in Israel, right? Like, everybody thinks that they're all, like, the whole country of Israel is just like this pack of wolves that just hates everybody. I'm like, no, they have their own problems there too. They have religion problems as well.
And a lot of those people hate their own government.
Yeah.
For what they're doing. Yeah.
A lot
for
of
what
them.
They have.
Yeah, done. Exactly. So. Because we're now, mass majority of people here are looking at Israelis as I'm like, oh, like they're all that way. And it's just like, no, like I have good friends that are in the IDF. I have a couple friends that still live in Israel that I talk to, and not a lot of them are happy right now. They're like, look, man, I get it. You know, we had to swing back, but I'm like, are we done swinging here? Because this is getting out of control.
Yeah.
And I just think there's obviously, and like we said, right, there's just way more to it. But yeah, man, it's the conversation with Chris was really good as well.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to bring you on because I've been watching what you've been doing, and I think that's really neat. It's neat to see other guys actually take their time out of their day and actually look out for others and stuff, because we can all sit here and, you know, do the little forward, you know, keep an eye on your brother, blah, 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 crap. But in reality, it's about what you're truly doing, right? Like, because I've had guys that were in the military with me, or they said, hey, I have your back, you know, give me a call whenever you need it. But the likelihood right now is if one of us is really going through a tough time, it's going to be very hard to pick up this thing and call a buddy and say, you know what, dude, I'm rock bottom. I'm fucked up right now. I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you guys are doing out there is, you know, even when you're with the Green Beret Foundation and stuff, you've shown that there's a support system to say, you know what, needless to say, let me just reach out to these guys. Mm-hmm. And for me, the big success of this podcast, other than Sean Ryan liking one of my posts not too long back, I was like, oh yeah, I was like, Sean Ryan liked something. I must be doing something all right.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was, everybody's like, what the hell is that? I was like, yeah, Sean Ryan's like, he's a good guy in my eyes, right? But I think the cool thing for me was I've had already now three people.
Sean Ryan doesn't like nonprofits, so he thinks they're all scammy. That's what I was told. I wanted to go on his show.
I know. There's some stuff that I'm like.
There's a lot of scammy shit, but man.
There's a lot of scammy
shit. Yeah.
I think it's because, think about it. In the past, a lot of nonprofits were very like.
Oh, yeah.
You go see them, and then they're like CEOs are like rolling in like badass cars and stuff. And you're like,
yeah,
what the hell? But I feel like the nonprofit world has changed a lot because of people like yourself who are getting into it that have actually been in those experiences.
Mm-hmm. I put my own money into the nonprofit set.
And it's different, right? Because there's people.
I don't run it. I have a CEO and a COO. I'm a founder.
And that's awesome, man. And I think that's where the world is changing when it comes to those kind of things. Just like even when people say college is a scam, I was like, it is, but it isn't, right? It is necessary at times, you know? But like I was saying, man, I think the biggest thing for me was I had three people reach out already that are like, dude, I'm rock bottom. I need help.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the words they use, but they were going through it and been able to push them out to people that I know that have, you know, different nonprofits and stuff. And for me, that was like, I was like, okay, I feel like I don't want to make money off of this. I mean, if I do, great. But for me, that was special because it was like getting that word out there of like, hey, you know what? Reach out, man. Don't hesitate, and we'll try to get you the help you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important for me. And like I said earlier about a name of an individual that people want me to talk about, but I refuse to. He helped me get a Marine back from Ukraine who got fucked up over there. He ended up dying here in San Antonio over at BAMC. But, you know, that's what it's about, man, is helping those guys who, you know.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You already feel alone when you're in some of those situations.
Yeah, no, I like that. I will say it's few and far between where, you know, somebody's going to call, especially a SOV operator, is going to call for help. I can count on one hand how many times I think that happened. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many times a SOV operator took his own life because that's just what they do. It's hard to get to these guys because that's really where I started with mental health and helping these guys at the foundation and with, you know, stem cells because, you know, it helps heal the brain. It's not just for daily function, but it's for mental health. That's where it all is, like you said earlier. And a lot of these guys, they're just going to do it. They get in their head and they're going to off themselves. I've seen it with guys that I know, guys that I don't know through stories of other, there's like, yeah, he just did it, man. And they get to a point, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking done. Boom, I'm done.
Yeah.
And this is kind of morbid. I don't care. It's now we got to step over the bodies to get to the ones that are still alive.
Yeah.
And before they make that decision, they're not there yet. But let's get to them. I know that you've got brain trauma. I know that you've got brain trauma.
Yeah.
If you did anything cool in your fucking military career other than sit at a desk and stare at a computer, which probably causes brain trauma too.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man.
Stigmatisms.
Right. I mean, you need help, and that's what a lot of us nonprofits are there for. And it really kind of comes from a place of compassion, empathy, and love because they're not getting it from the active duty side.
Yeah.
You get some conversations, some one-hour-long, you know, bullshit classes on it that are mandatory, you know, and nobody's pay attention, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody really pays attention to it until they're out anyway.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that... And I have no problem saying this now. I couldn't say it without getting emotional back in the day. But I was a week of, you know, thinking, contemplating about suck starting a shotgun. It was losing a father. I mean, I've been married three times, lost a wife and a child who passed away. And I feel like that marriage fizzled because of that. It was pretty traumatic for both of us, more so for her. I was in the military, but lost a father, damn near lost my life. Deployment, mindset wasn't right. Was told that I abandoned, you know, my wife on all these deployments. Granted, that's not a really nice thing to say, somebody who's in the military.
Yeah.
But that family, you know, moved away. And there was a point in my life where I was like, I'm fucked up. My military career might be over. The easiest way out of this is to just fucking end this shit now.
Yep.
But I like to tell people that what saved me was, honestly, it was my ex-wife, second wife, her cousin, who said, hey, what do you got going on? You want to come to church with us? And I grew up in a Christian school up until sixth grade. You know, faith was pretty strong for the most part. Got away from it, you know, really far away from faith and God and my walk with Jesus until that happened. And I was like, sure, I'll go to church. And it was part of that week where I was like, I could start a shotgun and end this now.
Yeah.
And nobody will care. My kids are little. They're not going to give a shit,
yeah.
You know. So I get it. And that's when, you know, health and wellness really, really kicked in. I was already a business owner with a supplement company, but I was selling other people's products and not thinking about what they could do to help people. So, mental health is huge. And when you get your body right, you get your mind right. And that's, you know.
You think that's what maybe gives you a lot of also your faith is like moments like that of knowing that there was a reason why that guy literally invited you to go to church. And
yeah.
All of a sudden. Especially during that time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that everything happens for a reason. Because she didn't know that I went to church.
Yeah.
She didn't know at all. She's like, hey, why don't you come to church with us?
So, you know, it's interesting you say that because I went through a really shit time. And I've said it once where I've said I almost took my life, but I'll actually say it, what happened to me that day. And I had reached out to a fellow Marine. He was, you know, a friend of mine and, you know, worked with me and stuff as well in the civilian world. We were cops at this time. And I literally called him and he just kind of showed no fucking care. And I was like, all right, that was my last straw. I try to reach out to one of the boys. I wasn't going to reach out to my, at the time, yeah, we had already gotten married, my wife. And that evening she was hanging out, whatever. We didn't have our daughters yet. And she was basically getting ready to, go to her mom's house or whatever. We were going to go. And I was just like, you guys go. I had it all planned out. And I went to the restroom. You know, I planned it out to where like, okay, like the kids don't need to find this, you know, because I had my stepdaughters. I was like, they don't need to walk in on me, you know, fucking dead on the fucking floor. And left a note at the door and I closed it. And I sat there, I got my gun and made sure there was one in. I was like, obviously, I don't want it to click and there's nothing in there. I made sure there was one in and everything. And I always had this back and forth if he was really real.
Mm.
So I was like, man, there's times that you fucking help me and there's times that you don't. That like selfish mentality of like, man, this guy's not real, man. It's just some fucking phenom or whatever.
Mm.
And I sat there and I remember, it's like, well, I'll give it one more try. And I prayed and I said, if you're anything of fucking real, somehow, some way this won't happen. I said, but it's going to happen. I literally sat there, literally prayed. Shit you not. Not even a minute later, my mom calls me. This is like 9 o'clock at night. She never calls me. I didn't even talk to her weeks prior to that. She calls me to say, how you doing? I just want to check on you. I hung up the phone immediately. That's when my emotion kicked in and realized,
wow,
shit, man, maybe you are real, right? Then I became, you know, like an emotional wreck right there, crying like a little bitch, you know, like, oh, man, you know, I'm like, man,
yeah.
You know, I'm just, and that's when I was like, okay, I need to.
This is a great story.
Distract my mind, you know, like I need to get that cleared. Well, I ended up going to contracting and it's like, so that wasn't really a fix.
Yeah.
I started going back into like letting things in again,
right.
And letting them sit there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't feel that way anymore. I did get some help with some other Marines and I chatted with them and they helped me a little bit, but I wasn't fixed, right? And I think later on I started noticing it was taking a big toll on my character. Even at work, I would fight with people. I was very short fused.
Yeah.
And, you know, recently, it's been till recently that I'm finally like, okay, there is needs to be some like legit fixing because my children should not be affected because of who the fuck I am. Because of my selfish ways in the past or my ways of not listening to like protect your head whenever you do things like this, do these things like never did, right? Or health, diet, whatever. So that's where one, my faith is strong in God and I don't care what anybody says when they say, oh, he's not real, whatever. I'm like, you can go, you know, go try what I did. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. But everyone has their story and to hear yours right now, like that's crazy because it's sitting there making me think like, man, it's very similar because random, like some of these things, you're like, it wouldn't have happened if, you know what I mean? I don't know.
No,
This episode of Calling Your Shot is brought to you by Team Room Tactical. Proudly based in Scottsdale, Arizona, founded by a U.S. Army Green Beret, Team Room Tactical brings the grit and precision of real-world experience to the firearm community. Whether you're shopping for high-end rifles, custom Glocks, or one-of-a-kind Cerakote or laser engraving work, Team Room Tactical is where craftsmanship meets combat readiness. They're not just another gun shop. They're a tribute to the brotherhood built by those who walk the walk. Their mission is simple. Deliver top-tier gear and custom builds to those who demand excellence. Check them out in person at 2334 North Scottsdale Road or online at teamroomtactical.com. Support veteran-owned, support the community, and most of all, support the mission. Team Room Tactical.
And I still get reminders.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem in my relationship now, but I wanted it to be like more loving and more caring and more empathetic towards my spouse. We have a great relationship, but out of nowhere, it was that damn 5-MeO DMT trip that I did, you know? Yeah. Again, I didn't think that I needed it. I didn't need it. I didn't have PTSD or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I did it because I was there to support other people. I ended up doing it longer than anybody else. They did like a 12, 15-minute trip. I did the first one. I was like, that was cool. Let's do it again. Like, you know, fucking let's get in there.
Yeah.
Second one sent me to another planet.
Yeah.
I came out of that like, holy shit. That was beautiful. Can I do it one more time? And the guy was like,
fuck's
all right. Yeah. And I took the biggest hit. And it comes from the gland of the Colorado desert frog or something like that. And I took the biggest hit I could, and it sent me to another universe. And the videos are, you would probably watch them and you'd be very concerned.
Yeah.
But it was the most beautiful, and granted, people call us the God molecule.
Yeah.
You're going to meet God when you die.
Correct.
You're not meeting it with a psychedelic that,
no, not at all.
You know, increases adrenaline, serotonin. It's a psychedelic. What I did see, though, was just, I prayed to say, hey, God, I want you to come with me on this, please, and bring my wife with me. And I remember holding her hand, and I didn't look at her. I ended up looking at everybody, and everybody there was freaking gorgeous, like oddly gorgeous.
Yeah.
My wife was amazing. Her eyes, she was staring at me and saying she loved me. But from all that, and wherever it took me, if that's what love is, I was doing it wrong this entire time. And from that, my wife's always like, God, you're just always so damn lovey now. Almost probably obnoxiously, I guess.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've actually been contemplating about actually doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, probably should just try it, you know?
Yeah.
And because I have a close friend who's coming on the podcast as well. I don't want to tell you with his wife. He's done it.
Uh-huh.
It helped him so much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
I know guys that were in some really, 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 really dark places, and it changed their life.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with any addiction issues or anything like that. Like, I still like to drink tequila.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, I can't crave tequila, or I don't crave alcohol or any of that stuff anymore. I didn't, and that's why I'm like, well, I didn't have any of these issues really. Love, like, and it's weird being a dude who's killed bad guys and all that shit and a fucking badass. I was doing it wrong.
I think that's kind of one of my issues. I feel like I'm currently in a state where I have the vision of where I need to be and what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
At least I think so. I'm sitting like in a hole, man. I'm like, I got my head out and I can see, but I'm like, how the fuck do I get out of here?
Right, yeah.
And I think that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, it's interesting you say that. I'm like sitting here listening to a lot of your stuff and I'm like.
I love science. I love experimenting. I've done psilocybin, you know, small capsule a day for brain health. Yeah. I like the way that kind of made me feel. Do I need it? No.
Yeah.
Do I do it all the time? Not at all. Every now and then I'll be like, what's it? Let me do that again just to see what it feels
I
like.
I tried that and it was nice and everything, but it wasn't fixing what I wanted it
to
fix.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So a lot of it's also just interpersonal healing that you've got to you know, fix yourself. Come to forgive yourself for a lot of things, which I have done, and forgive the heart. There's one thing in my life that I have a really hard time forgiving. I don't want to bring it up on here. It has nothing to do with me, really.
Yeah.
But everything else, you know, I've forgiven myself for, or have asked for forgiveness from other people, even though they're not there.
Yeah.
And that tends to help as well, you know. It's just self-healing.
Yeah.
It's weird. The older you get, I feel like the frontal lobe finally in men, you know, comes together.
Yeah.
you know, later in life, and you start figuring it out. It happens a little early in women for the most part, but you know, what are we, maybe we're closer to death, or I'm living on borrowed time, you're living on borrowed time, you know, deployments and all this shit. Being a cop, hell, you as a cop, I'd fear for you guys more than active duty dudes who deploy, train, you know.
I think for me, that was the biggest roller coaster of my life, especially because I became a SWAT operator and I was also on patrol. So you can go from, like, there's one day, literally got to see this 2-year-old that got ran over, lifeless. And that was like my whole 2.5 hours-ish of that call that I was there.
Yeah.
And then right after, I got this lady bitching and complaining about her neighbor parking on her driveway.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't have fucking time for this. And then, you know, you can be running down the street chasing somebody with your gun out. And then the next one, you're helping some old lady off of a van or something. It was such an emotional roller coaster.
You know? Yeah, that's why I say I worry about cops more than active duty people.
Yeah.
But then being an active duty guy like yourself to being a cop is... It's crazy. It's
two different worlds for sure. A lot of people, it's the same. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. Unless you like sat at a desk on both of them, then maybe.
But yeah.
There's two different worlds. I felt more camaraderie, and, you know, I just found a better stronghold when I was in the military.
Brotherhood.
The brotherhood there was real. In law enforcement, not only are you worrying about the streets, but you're worrying about your people and your department.
Yeah.
Chasing after you. You know, trying to get, you know, go up the chain and all that good stuff. But yeah, man, I'm glad you came on. I'm glad we had this conversation. Hell, it's been even a random eye opener on some instances for me. But I really hope that some of the listeners and the viewers can actually gain something from this. And, you know, hopefully maybe they're going through something that needs some help or whatever, but it's been an honor to have you on, man.
Yeah. I enjoy it, man. I really do. It's cool. I like to go on these things because they'll get calls, and if anybody's listening, they want to talk. Hit me up, email me. I find myself being a mentor. Maybe this should be my new business. A mentor for a doctor who is like, hey man, I just want to talk to you about your career and my career, and I want, you know, can you help me with this in leadership? I do a lot of, you know, I'll do speeches and things like that. But leadership is really fun. Transition out of the military or transition into civilian life from anything really. But yeah, if anybody needs to talk, I've got a lot of experience, a lot of connections, and. Maybe it should be my new business.
Yeah, you should, man. See, there you go. I think
call it Lean on Me.
Yeah, there you go. Project Lean on Me.
Project Lean on Me.
But yeah, we'll plug your stuff in, man. They could obviously find Project Recon on Instagram as well.
Yeah,
because I know Instagram's like really popular to find stuff. But you guys, I'll plug in the website, and then anywhere else you want to share.
Yeah, Alpha Leap Performance to show those people. Can you grab those?
Yes,
I want you to. So the Rally and Recovery is our hydration packs. It's pretty good. This is the orange pineapple electrolyte hydration, and it's got a prebiotic in there as well. I wanted this to be for, you know, it's just hydration for, you know, anybody that's in the military or extreme athletes.
I'm actually excited for this.
Pipe hitter?
Because I'm going to tell you a funny story. I ordered it after the Green Beret Foundation event that you guys had, and the delivery person dropped it off at my neighbor's house.
Oh yeah.
And well, it was not quite my neighbor, but down the road. And the whole time he thought, oh, like I got some pre-workout or whatever. So I was like, fuck. Like, because I was looking for, but I didn't care to, like, oh hey, I lost my package. I knew our delivery people there for the postal services, they suck. So now I'm always like, you know, if I can get like UPS or FedEx, I always do that. So I'm really fucking excited.
They're good. Built more for endurance type athletes. It's got a skull on there and all that stuff and night vision goggles on it. Pretty cool little artwork. There's some hidden little nuggets in there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, geared towards, you're not going to want to run through walls. You're not going to see sounds and hear colors. But it's a good focused pre-workout, something that I wanted for myself. It'll get you amped for sure.
Yeah.
In a mild pump, but it'll make you'll want to work out for sure.
I'm excited, man. I'm gonna also,
and it keeps working. It's got some amino acids as well, so after you're done working, it keeps
that's
working.
that's good.
Yeah
I'm gonna definitely try this out. I actually, was it maybe like 5 years ago ish maybe a little less, I had started a pre-workout with a buddy. We invested into it. Uh-huh. He was another Marine, and it was great. The problem is the name of it. There's a company, the Nelk Boys or whatever they are. They have like a big YouTube. They even like hang out with Trump sometimes. So it was starting to do good, man. It was going, it was working great.
Yeah.
We had you know, just like this, nice labeling, yeah, packaging, everything. Wasn't some random ass made pre-workout. Yeah. And we even took like colors out of it. Like we didn't want, you know, certain dyes and stuff in there.
Yeah.
We were really strict on it. Yeah.
Good.
I got a cease and desist letter. I'm like, what? Then I started looking. I was like, the Nelk boys, like the Federation, they have that Happy Dad drink and uh-huh. they have the beer and they have, at the time they had patented the term. It was literally called Sim Labs, but our pre-workout was called Full Send. It was just a Full Send pre-workout.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had it patented and they had it like all that shit. So they like hit me with a cease and desist. So I was trying to go back and forth with like, hey, well, pay me out and then I'll give you all the product if you want to destroy it. But I invested in this. I'm like, dude, see, we're a veteran owned company. Like we fucking barely even had enough money to invest in this. Like, and they kind of just like, well, look, man, just do your thing and just don't come back. And we're like, fuck. And I was going to say, fuck that. I was going to keep going after them. But I was like, those guys got money. They got lawyers.
Yeah,
and I saw, I looked up the firm. I was like, yeah, fuck that.
They'll
like,
keep you tied up.
Yeah, big one. So I was like, man, but it's really cool to see like veterans actually doing shit like this, man.
Yeah, we've had that for like 10 years now.
Yeah, I know. And I a lot of people that I know that have tried it, like they love it. So
yeah, well, good. Excellent. Good deal. So yeah, alphaleapperformance.com is where you can get that.
Sweet, man.
And projectrecon.org is the nonprofit. And
Yeah.
I'm easy to get a hold of. You can Google Travis Wilson Green Beret and all sorts of
stuff. I definitely have to go to your guys' shop.
Yeah, come on up.
Go get some stuff.
Hang out. Yeah. Sit in the office. I got a big old office.
Sweet, man. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I'm sure the viewers are going to like it as well. So
hope so.
Appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.